Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of July, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vegg. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Take a look at the cash grain markets with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, and discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, we'll hear something about the most recent FarmDoc Daily website report that was put up today by Daryl Good and Scott Irwin. We'll have more with them later in the week, but it's kind of important to hear what they have to say about the average national trend yield for corn, and I'll preview some of that with you. And we'll also take a look today at the latest agricultural news with your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. In fact, you can find Dave online on Twitter, at David A. Dickey, if you'd like to, or you can follow me. My Twitter handle is at Commodity Week. Nonetheless, stay with us for this half hour for the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers now as they finished up. Settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago, nearby soft red winter wheat. That's at $5.39.5 for the July harvest month. Down 5.75. September, nickel lower at $5.51.25. The hard red at $6.60.75. Down 14.25. July corn futures at $4.04. Down 4.25. September, $3.91.25. Down 7. December at $3.98. 6.25 lower. And the March corn at $4.09.5, down 6.25. May futures at $4.17.5, 6.25 lower. Next year's July, down 5.75 at $4.24.5. July soybeans at $13.34.5, up 4.75. August at $12.46.5, down 2. September, $11.32, a settlement price down 8.75. November at $11.03.75 of a cent, 12.5 cents lower. And the January futures, 13 cents lower at $11.12. And the July of next year finished at $11.33.75, down 14.25 cents. Bean meal at $4.39.50, up 2.20. Bean oil at $37.04, finished 76 cents lower. Live cattle futures in the August at $150.80, down $2.72.5. October down $2.42.5. August feeders were $2.30 lower at $2.13.60, and July lean hogs at $133.30, up $1.10. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. August lean hogs, by the way, while the July was up $1.10, were down 25 cents at $129.60 per 100 pounds. Outside markets now, crude oil futures, $102.18 a barrel, down $1.22. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.93.8, that's 3.4 of a cent lower. Ethanol futures, $2.14.2, up 2 tenths of a cent, and the spread between those two is 79.6 of a cent, that's 3.6 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.16.9, down 3.5 cents, and diesel fuel 2 tenths of a cent lower, $2.87.1 of a cent per gallon. Gold futures finished at $1,324.30 a troy ounce, up $7.80, and the U.S. dollar at 79.99 is down 0.18 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast says for the Urbana-Champaign area today. We'll see mostly clear skies, and that for this afternoon, on our way up to about 79 to 80 degrees for the afternoon, mostly clear with a low of 59 tonight. Wednesday, sunny skies and an 80-degree high. Northwest winds at 7 to 12 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, mostly clear and a low of 58 degrees. North-northwest winds will lay down just a bit, 5 to 7 miles per hour. They'll come calm in the evening. Sunny skies for Thursday and a high of 80 degrees. Winds will turn to the south-southeast on Thursday at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Thursday night, mostly clear and a low of 59. Partly sunny on Friday, a high of 81 degrees. And Friday night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a low of 67. And Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 86 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly clear, and a low of 70 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line for this ninth day of July is Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. I can hear the corn putting a lot of power into Grainville at this point. Slow her down and fill her up, huh?
Oh, it sure looks that way, I'll tell you. It's pretty amazing. I've got some pictures that I haven't put out on Twitter yet that are, you know, the silks are already turning brown. And so, the only thing that remains to hurt that crop would be extreme heat during fill, and, you know, we're not looking. At least the forecast isn't looking that way right now.
Yeah. So my Twitter account is at Commodity Week. What's your Twitter account address? Do you remember off the top of your head? I know you used it from, I think it's at JVakes, if I remember.
That's what it is. Yep, it's at JVakes.
At JVakes, yeah. So if people want to follow you and see what you're posting there, they can find that. Some things that we probably ought to talk about. China has made an interesting statement today. They have said, in particular to the United States and to the rest of the world, we're done. we're done. Stimulus from our side is over. What do you make of that?
Well, it's pretty scary in some respects because we know that one of the issues that we're still facing is instability in Europe, and part of the stimulus that came out of China certainly has been to shore up Europe. So from an economic standpoint, when you put Iraq into the picture, you put Ukraine into the picture, and now if China stops doing any stimulus and it all falls to us, what does that mean? I mean, you know, that to me means we're in a world of hurt. Now, we've seen them say these kind of things before and then not follow through on them, but I think that, you know, they too have plenty to deal with when it comes to their economy. So in general, this could just be another outside force that could have an impact on our commodity prices.
And it would be an impact to the low side, or would there be inflation?
It wouldn't help us. Let's just put it that way.
Either way, it would not help us. Okay.
No, it wouldn't help us.
How about that?
Not
other outside things. Brazil. Farmers there are asking for help, huh?
They really are. It's interesting. You know, they increased, of course, you know, their production this last year by 25%. Never made any changes, of course, to infrastructure. Then prices began to fall. We knew that they had high break-even prices. So let's look at 2015 and what their prospects are for that. If you're sitting in Mato Grosso, it's estimated that your break-evens are between $3 and $3.50 in U.S. dollars. Now, to get your grain to market, and this is not including all of the new tolls, because for right now that's not a part of it, is going to run you anywhere from $2.50 to $3 a bushel. Well, December 15 corn today closed at 431¾. If you take 250, you're modest, that leaves you $1.61¾. So they're crying to the government to say, oh, you've got to support us. You've got to give us more support. At this point in time, it's a dollar below what the government said they're willing to support anyway. And so the big question, Todd, is, you know, will they plant corn? You know, it's not a necessity in Brazil. It's an option. You know, and maybe in the long run, this could help us corn price down the road. But the unfortunate part is they are sitting on a lot of old crop corn yet. And that's going to have to come to market at some time. It always has a negative impact on, you know, on our prices, of course, because it competes with us. So Argentina, too. You know, Argentina is sitting on, they've had pretty below par yields over the last number of years. Lots of economic issues still remain. You know, they're going to have presidential elections coming up. So I don't think we'll see an expansion of acres. I don't think we'll also see a reduction in acres there like we may see in Brazil. But that's a pretty sad picture if you think about it. $1.61¾ left to cover all your costs. That's pretty much below your break-evens, minus any tolls it's going to cost you now.
Well, right now, producers here in the United States are facing a similar problem, especially if on their cash rented acres. And only, I think, on average in the state of Illinois, about 15%, maybe as much as 20% of any given farmer's acreage is owned. So there would be a lot of acreage that would be either cash rented or rented in some form. So they're facing a similar problem. And in the United States, like the Brazilians, they have a lot of old crop corn. We have a considerable amount of old crop corn, and we have what looks to be a tremendous crop based on the ratings coming on at this point.
Well, that's the truth. And, you know, it's a situation when if you break the crop ratings down and you look at the 18 major production states, which is, you know, the majority of the acres, as of this last week, 14% of the corn acres were below trend line, 21.5% were right at trend line, and 55.7% of those acres were above trend line. And you know, of course, Illinois was included in that. On beans, we had 13% below trend, 17.25% at trend, and 62.8% above trend, also in the same 18 states. So I think that what this really points out to us is it raises the likelihood that USDA will increase the average bushels on both corn and beans on this next report, and it would make sense. You know, we've talked about it before. I think the average guess right now is 165.9. I think we can go higher than that on corn, just by the fact that you take out some of the acres we've lost came out of the northern tier. You know, they have a lower production level anyway, so it immediately raises your average for the national. So I think if you add into that 55.7 acres above trend line, we could easily see 166, 166.2, and have it be realistic. On beans, I think we can go to 45, 45.2. It's a scary situation. And, you know, and you look at the implications, Todd, for 2015. You know, I think right now a guy has got to do something. We've been doing 2015 for quite a long time already, but you just, you know, if you look at the crop insurance price on corn, we dropped $1.03 from last year to this year on crop insurance. What if we duplicate that because we come in with such a huge crop? Should
Arc.
Stimulate usage, but can it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to be Debbie Downer, but I'm telling you, I still believe you have to be prepared for everything that there is. And if you can get a decent, halfway decent price for corn, you can always re-own it. That's the advantage of having the ability to use the market, being prepared for whatever this thing throws at you. And boy, she's throwing mud at us right now.
Oh, it's going to make some decisions farmers have to make later this summer, maybe early in the fall. Really important. And I know I'll be out and about with the analyst here, the ag economist, talking about the the farm bill decisions and the decision between ARC and PLC. So this, which will be on this crop, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Right.
So it'll be important. So we'll have information, and I'll let you know when those are coming up. I know
okay.
I've been working with some of those, and I'll let you know when those are happening. And of course, the U of I, the Farm Doc team, has been cited by USDA to put the training together for farmers. So we'll have the guys who know what they're talking about. Anyway,
That's just good.
Thinking about what you had to say on these numbers and what it really means, and it's just really low. Hey, the other thing is, where do the support and resistance levels set right now for both crops, corn and beans?
Well, you know, we put a new contract low in December today at 395. We've got support at 385 and three quarters. That's the 162% retracement of the 514 and three quarters to 435. We've got 376, which was the July 26th low of 2010. Then, of course, we'd have 349 and a quarter from DESA 2009, and then we'd have a four-year low if we hit 343 and a quarter, and that would have been June 28th of 2010. So when you look at resistance, we got resistance above us at 404 and a half, 418 and three quarters. And, of course, 435 is major resistance now. That's the old low that we put in last, you know, in January. So on beans, support, of course, psychological is at $11. And then we've got 1078, which is the 262% retracement. And the really scary part is 965.5 is the 138% retracement of that move that we had from 1409.5 down to 1088.25. So resistance at 1118, and of course we've got resistance up in that 1125 and 1130 area, and that'll be psychological. I'm fearful, Todd, that what's going to happen is on any bounce, that bounce is going to be met by farmer selling. And so it'll be very hard to sustain bounces unless we really see some major changes in the weather. And, each day that ticks by that we're not seeing something like that makes it less likely that that's what's going to happen.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. That is Jackie Vank. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. It is the 9th day of July. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment. He's your Director of Agricultural Programming and will help us take a look at the agricultural news.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy is scheduled to speak to agribusiness officials in Missouri tomorrow as part of an outreach to the agriculture community on the agency's proposed Clean Water Act rule. During a conference call with reporters yesterday, McCarthy wasted little time tackling claims made by agriculture interest groups and others about the proposed rule. McCarthy said the notion that EPA is regulating small unconnected waters such as puddles is, quote, just silly. The proposed rule, which stems from court rulings over the last decade, is open for public comment until October 21st. EPA added a list of 56 exempt conservation practices to the proposed rule to make it clear what is considered to be normal farming practices. China and the United States took small steps toward their shared goal of fighting climate change today, but the two sides remain significantly apart over a wider global plan to cut carbon emissions. China's chief climate official said China should not be subject to the same rules for greenhouse gas emissions as the U.S. and other rich countries, and that Beijing opposes any attempt to impose them on China at next year's World Climate Conference. The U.S. Special Envoy, Todd Stern, says Washington favors every country deciding what it is capable of doing instead of being categorized either as a developed country or a developing country in deciding how much a country should contribute to reduce climate change. CONAB today says Brazilian farmers will grow more soy in the 2013-14 season than previously estimated as weather conditions have improved. Brazilian farmers will produce 86.3 million metric tons of soy. That's up from CONAB's 86.1 million tons estimate in June and an increase of 5.9% from the 2012-13 harvest. CONAB raised its 13-14 total corn harvest estimate to 78.2 million tons from the 77.9 million tons forecast in June. That would be a decline of 4.1% from the 81.5 million tons produced in 2012-13. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Well, as I was walking out of Mumford Hall, Gary Schnitke, ag economist, was walking in this morning. He and I had a very quick conversation about the size of the U.S. corn crop. He had been listening to the program yesterday and heard Don Day, our meteorologist on Tuesday afternoons, telling us that it would be a cool, dry, sunny period with some rain over the next 10 days or so. He and I both agreed that would probably be really, really good for the corn crop. As it happens, Gary's colleagues up on the third floor in Mumford Hall, Daryl Good and Scott Irwin, had just finished penning and posting an article to the Farm Doc Daily website. It's titled "The 2014 U.S. Average Corn Yield, Big or Really Big." I'll talk with Scott a little bit later in the week, but thought you might want to hear some of the summary and implications of the work. They say that expectations of a U.S. average corn yield above trend value in this year seems justified by the current crop condition ratings. A yield above trend by as much as the average, 14.1 bushels, of the previous six high-yielding years since 1960, would be 173.6 bushels per acre. However, June weather conditions in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa were not entirely consistent, the two write, with those experienced in the previous six high-yielding years relative to the trend. This was particularly true for Iowa, which received twice as much long-term average precipitation in June than expected. There is no historical precedence, the two write, in the last five decades for an extremely high corn yield relative to trend when Illinois, Indiana, and/or Iowa had such an extreme amount of precipitation during June. The same conclusion also holds when other major corn-producing states are included in the analysis. This does not mean they say that such an exception cannot occur, but it would be unprecedented. On the other hand, it should also be pointed out, they say, that weather in the first 6 days of July were really favorable for corn yield prospects. History suggests that cool, moist conditions, like those that are coming up, need to persist through August for the U.S. average yield to be equivalent to that of the other high-yielding years examined. For this particular article, you can read from Scott Irwin and Daryl Good on the Farm Doc Daily website. Should be the latest article there, but you're looking for the post that's titled "The 2014 U.S. Average Corn Yield, Big or Really Big?" We'll hear directly from Scott and Daryl later in the week. So right about now, I figure you're wondering what the six high-yielding years happened to be and what the largest deviation might have been. The years are 1972, 1979, 1982, 94, 2004, and 2009. And the biggest deviation happened in 1972, 15.2%. Let's check now the cash grain markets. On the phone line is Tara DeNice. She is with the Andersons at their facility there in Indiana, outside of Logansport. Climbers, good afternoon to you, Tara. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you?
No, I'm listening to the corn grow.
Good. Yes, it certainly is that way in our area, listening to the corn grow and listening to wheat harvest continuing on.
Well, tell me about both of those, please.
Certainly continuing to see wheat harvest plug along in our area. This past weekend was a majority of our harvest activity, I would say. The northern parts of Indiana are continuing to finish up this week. Likely would expect everything to be wrapped up by this weekend, but very good quality and yield so far over here. A lot of yields in between the 85 to 100 bushels to the acre. You know, things were definitely a little bit wetter than expected, but still no issues with test weight or vomitoxin up to this point.
How's your basis been reacting for corn?
Corn basis has been holding fairly steady, starting to weaken up just a little bit here at the ethanol plant as we continue to see quite a bit of corn still in the countryside and are beginning to get some of our needs covered through the balance of the old crop year.
And your bids for the day?
Cash bids tonight at Delphi on corn were 384. Climbers is 389 on corn. Beans are 1311 at Delphi, and cash wheat is 546.
Thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara DeNice is with the Andersons. She is at their Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Today's programming is made possible in part by the Friends of WILL. And by Country Financial Representative Scott Jackson, Village at the Crossing in Champaign, committed to helping clients achieve peace of mind in retirement through effective planning. Online at scottjacksonfinancial.com.
It's National Sugar Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1766, Jacob Perkins was born. Perkins was issued the first U.S. patent for a refrigerating machine. It used sulfuric ether compression. In 1792, S.L. Mitchell was named as the first professor of agriculture at Columbia College in New York City. In 1808, Samuel Parker patented the leather splitting machine. In 1815, the first natural gas well in the U.S. was discovered by accident near Charleston, West Virginia, while digging salt brine wells.
In 1869, Henry Tibby invented the corncob pipe. By the way, the pipe was made from a special type of white kernel corn that was used to make taco and tortilla flour. In 1894, Percy LeBaron Spencer was born. Spencer developed the microwave oven in 1946 after he noticed that some chocolate in his pocket had melted. Spencer deduced the candy melted not due to body heat, but rather exposure to radiation from a magnetron tube. And in 1996, Douglas Chapman died. A Canadian-born U.S. mathematical statistician, Chapman did extensive research on fish farming, and he developed quantitative methods aiding in the management of fisheries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated has left us an update of the agricultural weather forecast for the planet.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are expected to stay mostly favorable as we move forward through this next week, then maybe 10 days at least, where you have plenty of subsoil moisture across the Midwest and timely precipitation is expected to occur along with temperatures that are not going to be excessively warm. We expect to see some cooler than usual conditions returning to parts of the Midwest during the middle to latter part of next week, and that alone will help to conserve some of the moisture that's in the soil today by reducing the evaporation rates. That has also occurred already this week as the temperatures turned cooler across portions of the Midwest, but between the end of this week and the first half of next week, we will see warmer temperatures across the region. Higher evaporation rates and better drying conditions will evolve. We'll expect to see temperatures more in the 80s across the Midwest, with some lower 90s in the southern portions of the region. A few upper 70s may continue across the far northernmost parts of the region. But all of this put together, it spells very good conditions for corn pollination, and reproduction in general will likely proceed without any serious considerations of problems across the Midwest. Plenty of moisture is in the soil. Those areas with excessive moisture earlier this season are seeing a general improvement, with topsoil conditions becoming much more reasonable and the river and stream flows are slowly returning back to normal. Conditions that are favorable in the U.S. Midwest are not alone. There are other areas in the continent that are doing very well. Mexico's rainfall pattern has been certainly favorable, more so than what usually occurs with an El Nino event, and their corn and sorghum crops are likely to perform quite well. Canada's corn and soybean production areas in Ontario and Quebec are also doing very well after a very cool and wet start to the growing season. Now conditions are almost ideal. They do need some drier weather to support better wheat maturation conditions and support its harvest down the road. The Canadian prairies also produce a considerable amount of spring wheat along with canola and a number of other crops, and the weather has improved across that region with recent warming tendencies and a continuation of less frequent rainfall, which has allowed for some of the excessive moisture that had been present in eastern parts of the prairies to begin to abate. Overseas, probably the most important issue of the day continues to be in India. India's monsoon has performed exceptionally poorly in the first 6 weeks of the monsoon season, and it looks like the poor rainfall distribution may continue for a little while longer. This may have a negative impact on their production potential for many oil seeds and coarse grain crops, as well as cotton, and even to a certain degree, some of their rice crop. this will eventually become the biggest headliner for the world's weather pattern over this next few weeks if there isn't any significant improvement in the weather trend. In the meantime, China's doing very well with timely precipitation occurring. There are some pockets of dryness there, but there's no exceptionally dry or hot weather pattern coming up. And as long as timely showers continue, the end result is going to be highly favorable for them as well as the United States.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps it up. I'm Todd Gleason.